seamless for all of your, what does it do, food?
The app
seamless. Yes.
I don't know. That's a really good question. I think it is food.
I know that sounded like a sponsored ad thing at the beginning, but it's not, because if they were our sponsor, we would know what they do.
We get a sponsor and we don't know what the company does.
What are we promoting? I have no idea. But that feels weirdly on brand for us.
Yeah, it really does. We're like, Casper, we think they hunt ghosts.
It's actually a gun company.
Is it ghosts? No, it's a mattress
company. Yeah. Yeah.
How's it going, Chad?
Good. Just chilling out over here with Carrie and Gail Paris.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Like I said before we started, I wish that was the show that we watched. But we didn't. We watched Emily in Paris. Or Emily in Perry, if you so prefer. If you are so inclined.
That's apparently how we're supposed to say it, which I find hilarious.
Okay, but... I don't want to, like, get into it too soon. Like, we can you know, preface it first. But none of the French people pronounced Paris as Paris. They all said Paris the whole time. And it annoyed out of me. It annoyed the shit out of me to the point where I Googled it. I was like, wait, are we crazy? And it's, like, do Parisians pronounce it Paris? No. They say Paris. I'm like, why did none of these people? Anyway, I have so many issues with this show. That is just one of them.
That's really funny because, you know, people don't have any problem saying Perrier, so why can't you just say Perrier?
But like I was like, these are like real French actors. Like, that was the other thing. I was like, it's not like they were just like, ha ha ha, French people. Like, no, these were like legit like French actors, and they were like in France. I was like, okay, anyway. Before I yell.
Yeah, before Grace goes on to her little tangent, which is immediately after this, how about we preface with what the show's about? So if you've never seen the show, it is a Netflix joint.
If you've never seen this show, save yourself the several hours. Do not watch it.
It is a Netflix x Darren Star joint.
Yes.
The creator of Sex and the City. So
yes.
If you're also getting that vibe from the show, that is why. There are currently two seasons.
Of the Carrie Diaries fame.
Yes. There are currently two seasons, but they also got renewed for two more seasons somehow. I don't know.
That just is so much.
Yeah, the current theory is that they're using the show to launder money. But we can neither confirm nor deny that suspicion. But
I think they just want to go to Paris. I think
maybe
they're just like,
something.
Yeah, Paris. Like,
I think they may be laundering money out of Paris. That's the tea.
International
gag.
Funds. Yeah.
Yeah, that there has to be something going on with that.
But I don't think the euro is very strong right now, so I don't know if I buy that.
Or the franc. Isn't that their money over there? Is that what it is?
Well, they use euros.
Oh, do they? Well, doesn't...
Everybody uses euros.
Yeah, but doesn't France have its own, like, actual currency?
Well, everybody does, but they all use euros.
Oh, okay.
The euro is the national European...
Like the international currency.
Yeah.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
I'm just like, do they use their own money too? Like, every once in a while you're like, oh, look, there's a French dollar.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Anyway, these are questions we cannot answer because this show sucks and didn't actually teach us anything about France.
I thought you were going to say didn't do our French research or anything, but, you know.
Well, neither did the writers of this fucking show, so I don't care.
So the show centers around the titular character, Emily, who is a down-home girl from Chicago who worked at an ad agency, PR firm?
Yeah, I think it's a PR firm.
Okay, yes. So they work at a PR firm, and then they just have, like, an open position in France or Paris. And Emily, like, any girl with a Tumblr or a Pinterest was like, hey, I always wanted to go there, so
well, no, the boss gets pregnant, right? The boss is supposed to go.
Oh, right. But then she's pregnant.
She's
and that's why.
Pregante.
She ends up coming next season anyway.
Yeah, she ends up there anyway. I'm like, you're like way more pregnant now. But anyway.
Exactly. Like, you really shouldn't be flying. And she was just like, no, I'll just have this baby in Paris. I don't care.
That was so funny. I do like that actress. I forget her name. Who plays the boss?
I know. Addison from Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
And Private Practice.
Yeah. She's very funny. But she goes over to Paris with, like, zero knowledge. She's got her little, like, Duolingo tapes. She's just like, blah, blah, blah. Merci. In her terrible, terrible French accent. And yeah, she goes over there, and that's the conceit of the show.
And somehow ends up with a hot neighbor that she ends up sleeping with. I'm just like, what?
Okay.
How does that happen?
So here's the thing. She gets to Paris, and, like, every man there is immediately horny for her. Like, literally the guy who is helping her with her bags in the fucking apartment building is like, ooh, maybe we can get dinner sometime. And she's like, I have a boyfriend back in America. And that is, like, the whole show. Like, everybody is just straight up, like, wants to get her in bed. Like, every dude that they run into. I'm like, this
like,
is wild because she looks like garbage the entire time.
You mean like what she's wearing and like how she's styled? Like, I can get it because Lily Collins is very attractive. She's a pretty girl. So I get them just being like, ooh, like I'm very attracted to you. But
I think that it's like okay, yes, yeah, she is pretty. I'm not saying she's not. Like, she's very pretty. She's got killer eyebrows, like, whatever. She's crazy skinny. I don't know. I just, like, I didn't like how they dressed her body. Like, I felt like they were just like, oh, we can put anything on her because she's so skinny. She just pulls it off and she's so pretty. And I'm like, no, you can't. Like, so many of the things, I mean, we'll talk about the outfits.
I was gonna say we could actually just go ahead and talk about the outfits right now. I feel like my thoughts on it are really, I don't know if it was almost intentional in the way that they were doing that, because I thought that they were kind of almost pulling an ugly Betty with it, where they were like, you know, Betty would wear like what she thought was nice, and then they would be like, what's that? And I feel like that's kind of like how, or at least that's how it was presented to me, at least when she would go into the office, and they would just like kind of look at her like she was insane. So
yeah, I'm really glad you brought up Ugly Betty, because I do want to talk about the genre of this show and how other shows have done it better. And I think Ugly Betty is like the best example of it. But I had the same exact thought. I was like, wait, are they dressing her kind of kooky so that she, like, it's more in line with, like, her character and how her character's so out of place in France? Like, but it never, like, the text of the show never treated it that way. Like, we were never overtly, like, conversely to Ugly Betty, where it was like, yeah, you obviously got, like, she works at a fashion magazine and she's not fashionable. Like, you get that. And but she's got her own thing. Like, that's her character. This show, I feel like at certain points, like, they straight up were like, this is an amazing outfit that she's wearing. Like, she dares to wear this. And I'm just like, no. She looks bad. Like, I don't know. Because I had the same exact thought as you. I was like, oh, maybe this is just, like, how they're sort of trying to portray her character. But, like, it just never. And then there were certain scenes where I was like, I really like what she's wearing, actually. Like, there were certain outfits that I thought were really good and really, like, fit her. Because she has a very, like, Audrey Hepburn, like, classic beauty about her face. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, sometimes they would, like, play into that. And I was like, that looks really good. Then other times, I don't know. I mean, like, even in the picture, like, look at what she's wearing in the picture behind me. Like, she's got this bucket hat with, like, a very strange, like, I don't know, geometrical print. And then she, like, the way she's fitted into the top, I don't know. I really think they missed the mark so badly. And I think it didn't do anything other than make me just, I don't know. I think it stood out in a bad way, if that makes sense. I think, like, I don't know. If they were going for, like, her being kooky, I can understand. But it just, it never, like, it never sold that way. Because they were, it was kind of inconsistent, I guess. I don't know.
No, I can understand that. It's, I think what it was missing was kind of like Michael Urie, how in Ugly Betty, Michael Urie and I think her name was Amanda, the secretary who was in the front desk.
Becky.
Like their character. Yeah, their characters would draw attention to the fact of what she was wearing and like make it a point to continuously say that. So it's really, because I feel like at the end of season two, her outfits are a bit better, but I think that's her, like, finally getting into the, like, integrating into living in Paris.
Mm.
But, you know, again, there's no one who's, like, saying, oh, your outfits are better, or, like, your outfit is bad, and then they progressively get better so that you can know that that's her markers. It's kind of like a subtext thing versus an actual text.
Yeah.
And it really should have been, like, it really should have been a text, especially for this to, like, be a comedic show in and of itself. It's supposed to be a comedy, I believe.
I believe it's supposed to be funny.
I mean, it's 30 minutes. It can't be a drama. It has to be a comedy.
It's definitely a comedy. It's just not very funny.
That's the thing. It's humorous, but it is not humorous. Funny.
Yeah. I mean... Yeah, and you're totally right. Like, we don't have that, like, I think that was the other thing with, like, her character. Like, she doesn't fucking learn anything. Like, I'm like, we've been through two seasons with her now. Like, she doesn't learn anything, and there's nothing in the text to support that she, like, has changed. Like, and you're right about, like, the whole, like, her outfits, like, sure, there's, like, a little subtle hint that, like, maybe she's getting a little bit more, like, Parisian, right? In her, like, fashion or whatever. Or she's assimilating or whatever. But, like, it's the same exact thing with her personality. I'm, like, she's just as, like, annoying in the, like, finale of the second season as she is in the pilot. And I'm, like, if you're gonna do this and you're gonna, like, make her this, like, ah, she's kind of, like, abrasive and just... whatever, she just does kind of what she wants, and she's like, I don't know, she clumsy, I forget what her even personality was supposed to be, but like, I'm like,
yeah,
have her grow, like, I don't know, just
her character does seem to be clumsy TM by Fergie. Like, literally that exact example. The whole song, the music video, all of it.
Right.
That's how she feels to me. Okay. She's very, like, she's very competent and, like, good at what she does, but she is very, like, bumbling her way through it type. And I feel like that's kind of, I feel like they're trying to play into that whole, like, 20-somethings genre of it all, of being like, oh, she's still trying to find herself and blah, blah, blah. Mm. And being in Paris, she's finding herself. But again, like, some of those texts aren't coming off, especially through... the avenues in which she's doing it, it's...
Yeah.
There have been a lot of, I want to say, like, male caveats to her personal growth, which, I mean, is, like... I mean, it's fine, because I'm, like, you can grow through, like, dating people and learning experiences and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. There's, like, some other things that I don't get, like, her, per se, loyalty to, like... I don't know, this would be jumping way far ahead, but, like, at the very end of season two, where, like, the whole thing happens with, like, Sylvie and them, like...
Yeah.
being like, oh, we're gonna leave and whatnot. Her loyalty to them versus her actual company doesn't make sense to me. Right. I mean, I get that, you know, she's like, oh, they used to treat me bad and take advantage of me or whatever. I'm like, the Parisians were like kind of doing the same thing, but I guess they valued you more, question mark. Mm. But my whole thing about it was, I'm like, but they were like the French people were like, specifically Sylvie was the one who actually did something wrong. And then they're kind of just trying to like absolve her of that. And I was like, not okay with it. Cause I'm like, no, you like fucked someone's husband and then like you were undercharging them because you're like, oh, I felt really bad for it doing it. And this like salvages the business relationship. And I'm like, no, that's bad for business. Like, oh, literally very bad.
I thought she was undercharging him. I don't think she felt bad. I think she was just like, oh, we had this deal. And because we were fucking, like, I just charged him this much, like, kind of a thing.
No, that type, that deal seems, because the wife knew about it and the way that they were talking about it, it came off to me that it was something that was negotiated after she found out about the affair. And that was to, like,
right,
keep things in that, like, keep things moving, basically. Mm,
gotcha. And I'm okay, like, I guess
so. Again, but again, I'm like, that's bad for business, because I'm like, if that were to happen here in America, yes, you would be fired. So I'm like,
well, here's the thing. Here's what I'll say. I loved Sylvie so much. I wish the show was about her. I thought she could do no wrong. And like, yes, absolutely. She fucked up. Like, there was a lot that she did that was not cool. But I like loved that about her character. Like, I was like, I feel like Sylvie had more growth than Emily, who was supposed to be our main character. Like, and I was like, I felt like her whole, I forget that guy's name, but her whole thing with him, and then she like came out of that and started dating that younger guy, and like, you know, you find out she's married and like this whole thing. I was like, I thought that was all super interesting, because I don't know that we've ever really seen like an older female character who's like got like allowed to like do that in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm sure, you know, I'm sure, like, obviously there's different examples, but like just the way that they like revealed different things about her character and the way that her character was, I was like, I think this is super interesting, and I think she's a cool
character. She's absolutely like the best written character of this show. I mean, don't get me wrong, I still love Sylvie, and I really think like her, like them finding out about it and then her standing up for herself and then being like, oh, I'm just gonna leave.
Yeah.
And start my own company. I totally support that, because I'm like, no, you should do that. But you know, it's kinda like, oh, I've kinda like fucked up at this place, so I might as well just get out of here. You know, it's like one of those types of things where you're like, well, I pissed off my manager. I have to now quit and find a new job. But, you know, life's still good for me.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they, like, a lot of it, and this was, like, a problem I had with the show in general, is, like, so much of what happened was just to, like, further the dramatic plot, you know, of, mm-hmm. like, that. I felt like just certain things, like, weren't, like, character driven, just because I was like, okay, they're just doing this to like add drama, and you know, that's fine. Like, it's a campy show, it's a campy comedy, and they just want to like, you know, amp it up and get people watching, and I get that, and that's fine. But yeah, I mean, to your point about like Emily's loyalty to like the French agency, like, again, that was like, we didn't grow with them. Like, it was like they were making fun of her and they were like blah 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 blah, you know, not like taking her seriously, and then all of a sudden like they were like and it was just like,
yeah, it was okay. Very like switch flipped all of a sudden, because like, yeah. Now, and we can go ahead and start talking about the side characters here, because we can just talk about her her co-workers.
Yeah.
The tall French guy is kind of like the only guy who, I don't know anybody's names other than Sylvie and Emily. So tall French guy, uh-huh. was
The black guy?
Always nice. No, tall French guy.
Who's tall French guy?
The, like, guy with the curly hair. The gray curly hair.
Oh, the old guy.
Yeah.
Older. He wasn't old.
Yeah, he's also literally the tallest person on the cast.
I didn't notice. I didn't realize he was tall. He was just old.
Wow. So, yeah, tall French guy.
That guy was pretty tall, too. What are you talking about?
I mean, comparatively to Emily, I guess, but I'm sure she's like 5'2", 5'3", so everyone seems tall in comparison.
Okay, I'm sorry. So the tall, old, the quirky guy, yeah.
Yeah, he was the only one who was, like, nice to her. Mm. Like, he would always say, like, weird shit, but he was, like, the only one who was, like, actively nice to her. So I understand her being, like, you know, kind of receptive to him. Right. But, like, you know, black French guy, like, black gay French guy, there we go. He was always, like, I don't know, like, her frenemy, where he'd be like, oh, we're, like, catty together.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't really particularly like you.
He was totally the Michael Urie of this show. Like.
Yeah. Although, I don't like his, I don't really like his character all that much. Like, his character doesn't have, well, he also had, like, zero growth.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because I'm like, they gave, like, the weirdest characters growth or, like, progressive storylines. Mm. But, like, what would have made more sense is, like, because he was so, like, so close in proximity to Emily, because I think their positions are the same. So they just do the same. I think...
Yeah.
Emily, the black gay French guy, and the old guy, tall old guy, quirky guy, I think they're all, like, they white do the guy. Same thing. Do they do all do the same thing? Because they seem like they contribute the same stuff to the company.
Couldn't tell
but
you.
But it's never...
They did not explain anything. They were like, Sylvie's the boss, and the rest of them just work there. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. I was just sure that Emily and the black guy, I know that they do the exact same job.
I got that impression as well. Yeah. So I think it would have made sense for them to be like more in competition, I guess. Like more of like a rivalry. But they didn't really play into that. Like it was more just that he was like mean to her.
Yeah. And then he took her client in the second season, and that was just, like, whatever.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think you're right. They just, like, added growth to the, like, most random... I mean, I think it's just, like, a little bit of a hit-or-miss thing. Like, I think they just wrote all these storylines, and then some of them worked, and some of them didn't. And yeah. So much of it was, like, and I get it. It's a campy, comedic drama, you know, girly show, whatever you want to call it. But, like, so much of it was Emily in this, like, love quadrangle and, like, just her, like, tripping into these situations and, like, solving everything. And I was, like, I really hate watching a character who's, like, not active in solving their own problems. Like it literally just seemed like she would just fall into things and be like, oh my god, it worked out. Like, I hate you. Yeah. I hate watching that. I really hate watching that.
I mean, what's a girl to do when she's stuck between men? And what if those men is a snake?
So, yeah, so let's talk about her love interests and the situations there, those side characters. Because that was a whole set of side characters.
Yeah. So there's her work life, yeah. And then there's her romantic life.
Yeah.
And then her one best friend who...
Oh, how right, they, the right, friend, yeah.
How does she even meet that girl? Like, I don't remember it at this point.
They're in a park. And she, like, I don't know, she's, like, sitting on a bench, and then she's, like, I have to, like, look up people's names, because I'm, like, I fucking forget. Mindy, right? Isn't that her name? Is Mindy? Mandy?
Something like that.
I think it's Mindy.
I mean, she only got one friend, so you could just be, like, her one friend.
Her friend. Yeah, so she's, like, sitting on, yeah, it's Mindy. She's, like, sitting on a park bench, and Mindy's, like, there, talking to the kids that she's babysitting, and then she realizes that she speaks English, and so they're talking in English. I think that's how they meet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
From my memory, I half watched this show. I watched a lot of it while I was painting my kitchen that one day. So it's a good show to paint your kitchen to.
just have on in the background.
If anybody wants to paint their kitchen, throw on Emily in Paris. Call it a day. Yeah, so her friend, I liked her friend. I liked Mindy. I thought she was fun. I was like, again, this is a character that you was super interesting and you could have made this show about her. And it would have been great. Like, didn't she have her whole, like, she was like, China's biggest pop star or something, and then
she came over. She's part of, like, she's like heiress to a Chinese, like a Fortune 500 company in China or something like that.
Yeah, but she also, like, won Chinese American Idol, because she had that whole thing where she, that whole, like, plot about her becoming a singer again, because like, she goes to the drag
club. But she didn't win. She didn't win. She was on Chinese American Idol, and then she, like, messed up or something, like, and then everyone was, like, making fun of her, and then she, like, fled the country, basically. So now anytime anyone brings up her past, she's always just like, you know what, my life? I'm like, girl, it's not that serious. It's not like you murdered someone on TV.
I know. That whole thing was so funny. And I was also, like, living in the age that we do where, like, the internet, like, everybody just knows stuff. Like, you can Google anything. I'm like, anybody's storyline that has to do with, like, oh, no, people are going to find out my past, which is on the internet. I'm like, well, babes, like, if it's on the internet.
You're going to have to come to terms.
If it's on Twitter, girl, you're done. Like, just move past it. Just be like, yep, that was me. And move the fuck past it. Because...
Sorry. I've got a great show. And, like, if you need to come to terms, I've got a great show for you to watch. There's a show called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Right, exactly.
Where the titular character also does something insane, and then everyone finds out about it. And it's just like, I just have to be okay with this.
Listen, I think everybody should look to Crazy Ex-Girlfriend as a... example of good character growth.
I mean, really, just finishing rewatching it like a month ago, I was like, the character growth in this show is just so great
for like almost every single character except for Heather, which, like, you know, rip, but
like, she just got a job.
I know, but like, it was just so lame. They were like, yeah, she's just gonna like be a manager and like marry this guy, and I'm like, okay. Sure. Yeah, now I forget what I was talking about. Oh, the friend.
No, the funniest part was when she was in that band, and then the one guy was just like, oh, I found out that you're that one girl, and she's like, don't tell anyone, or don't tell him.
I definitely thought both those guys were gay.
Me too. I was just like, she was all like, oh, I like him. I'm like, ooh, honey, you gotta storm a comment.
I thought the same exact thing, but then no, they ended up together, so.
Which also was not fun. That was also not fun. That was an instance to do something fun.
What do you mean?
With the two guys just being gay, and then she's just like, whoops. Because, I don't know, they've kind of been, like, not marketing, I will say they've been, like, sub-pushing this. Not, like, full-on pushing this, but, like, trying to get it in your mind that this is like a Parisian-esque Sex in the City, because it's not Sex in the City, but it's at least enough in the ballpark that it feels similar. And for that show to have so many like kind of campy funny moments that are like true to life, this kind of felt like, this show has a lot of ones that don't feel like that. They feel very like,
yeah.
I mean, as fantastical as Sex and the City can get, it's like some of it does feel very grounded in real life, where you're like, yes, this is how shit happens in New York.
Yeah.
But like in Paris, like with this, I'm just like, for me to hear as rude of people as the French are, this doesn't come off that way. Especially with, like, I don't know. Maybe it's because they were all, like, foreigners in France, so they were supposed to be, like, nicer. Maybe that's why. I don't know.
No, I think the stereotype of the French being rude is actually, like, to tourists. Like, the French actually, like, not that... They're not rude. I mean, they're not, like, you know, super nice or anything. But I think it's just that they're more mean to foreigners. Like, they just hate fucking tourists. Because they're, you know, Paris is, like, always one of the most touristy cities in the world. Yeah. I think they just hate tourists. But, yeah. What was I going to say about... Oh, yeah, it's funny that you're saying that, because I feel like I would never compare this show to Sex and the City. Like, I would never, like, say that they're in the same genre. Like, the two shows I thought about while I was watching this that I was like, they do this genre so much better, is Ugly Betty was one, which I immediately started rewatching after finishing this show. And Younger. Because I was like, it's that...
Yeah.
It's that campy comedy, drama, romantic.
Fish out of water, but...
Yeah, fish out of water. Like that, like, almost coming of age, like, kind of not really coming of age, but, like, coming into your own.
Yeah.
By being in a place that you maybe don't traditionally fit. Like, that genre. And I was like, both of those shows did it so much better.
Yeah, I would still call this coming of age. Yeah. What's interesting about the coming of age genre is I feel like people think that it's always supposed to be fixated on, like, between high school and then, like, leaving.
Yeah.
Like, your senior year to, like, that type of time period. But I'm like, no, coming of age can literally just be any pocket of time where you're, like, coming into your own.
Yeah.
Because it's really just, like, a growth period in your life.
That's a good point.
So, I think that's something that over the next couple of years, they're probably going to, like, relook. Especially with examples of this type of show. And I'll say, like, Sylvia is a perfect example of that character. Where she feels like right now she's kind of coming of age again. Because she's moving into a new period of her life of leaving her... old company and starting her own and starting a new relationship and doing all these things.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of, I guess, also something that the Sex and the City reboot was also doing with them and just like that, which we'll talk about in another episode. But
I don't know if I'm going to get around to watching that, I'll be honest with you.
Oh, you have to. I have to talk to someone about this. I mean, Deandra also watched it. So if she did, I'll have her back on.
I did spoil myself for the shocking ending of the first episode, which made me chuckle. Gave me a little chuckle.
It made everyone chuckle. And I was like, wow, they did that. It was very much a thank God moment for me. I was like, really? We needed it. I couldn't. Oh, I was not going into this series if he was gone still be kicking around. I'm like, I can't do that.
Interesting. Well. If I watch it, we will get to that.
I know. And then we can reignite our argument about how much I hate Big and love Aiden and you do not.
I hate Aiden. I mean, I don't like any of her boyfriends, so
but he's the only one I do like.
I mean, I don't want to, like, fully get into this discussion right now, but, like, I think more my problem with Aiden, like, I actually really like Aiden as a character. I think he's fine. I'm like, he builds furniture. Like, what else can you want? But, like, her character was the most fucking annoying with Aiden. Like, she was her worst with Aiden.
And oh, no, I can agree with that. But that was all her. That was all her.
I know, but, like, she was, like, I just felt like it was written not well. Like, they were just like, we need Carrie to be crazy. And I was like... I mean, she's a little bit crazy, but she's not full-on fucking nuts and emotional all the time. Like
a people-pleaser. Yeah, that in that era, she was trying to be very much a people-pleaser. But I'm like, all he asked you to do was stop smoking. That's all he asked. He was like, but then there's, hey, like, can you just stop smoking?
There's that one episode where they, like, fucking, like, go to the cabin or whatever, and, like, I don't know. Okay, anyway, we'll talk about this later, but I just, I hate that era of, like, I just hate that relationship. It's not even Aiden that I have a problem with. I just, like, hate, like, that, yeah. Anyway. I don't, but again, I don't really love any of her boyfriends. I think it was just, like, she just had to end up with Big because he was the one, like.
Yeah. Well, sense. Speaking of boyfriends, let's go to the love interests for, Emily.
I actually like
the British guy.
Oh, yeah. British guy's like, fine. I mean, he's fine.
He hasn't done anything for a red flag to jump out or anything. He's been very normal.
Yeah.
Other than being, like, you know, kind of standoffish in the very beginning, he was fine.
Well, isn't he, like, I forget actually now what his whole thing was. Like, wasn't he, like, he doesn't want to stay in Paris or something? Or, like, I don't know. They had this whole thing about, like, he wasn't there for a long time or something. I don't know. I forget now.
Yeah, he's like a banker who's there for something random in Paris. But his character, I know at the end of the second season, I think he's, like, leaving soon or leaving. Because the whole reason he didn't want to, like, get intermingled is because he wasn't going to be there that long.
Right.
It was, like, a short-term contract.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, that's what I thought. That's what I mean. But then did they resolve that? I don't remember now.
I feel like they did not. Like, it's either, I mean, it could go one of two ways, which is, and I don't remember which way it went. It was either he was leaving, and then they were like, well, we'll just take a pause. I feel like it was he was leaving, and he wanted her to go to England or something. But I'm like, it's also not that far away from France, girl. You can just, like, go there for a weekend.
Yeah, I feel like when you're in Europe, it's kind of just like, yep, you can just go there. I mean, yeah, I know Great, like, Britain's an island, but you can take the goddamn, like, boat or whatever, right? Isn't there a ferry somewhere?
Something like that. I'm like, isn't that the whole appeal of, like, going to Europe is you can, like, hit a bunch of these places pretty quickly?
Yes.
Like, you could just go there?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and again, like, well, this whole show is just written from an aggressively American point of view, to be honest. I'm like, I feel like there are plenty of couples in Europe that, like, one of them lives in Germany and the other lives in, like, France, and they're just like, yeah, we're together. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, it's the same as, like, dating somebody who lives, like, a couple states away from you. Like, that'd be like me dating somebody from Maryland. I'd be like, yeah, I'm just gonna drive an hour and a half and see them. Like, it's, like, not a huge deal.
I know, it's not like being bi-coastal.
Right, yeah, but even that, it's like, anyway. Yeah, like, Europe is very small, and not, well, it's not small, but it's, I feel like Americans don't understand, like, how close together all these countries are, and how, like, intermingled they all are, and how you can literally just, like, take a train from, like, wherever to wherever.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Emily was also like that. He'd be like, yeah, you can just take the train. She'd be like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the British guy's fine. I hope she ends up with him, because I feel like he's a little boring, she's a little boring. I'm like, yeah, they would make a great couple, like, you know?
Yeah. Just your average couple that ends up at game night.
Yeah. And they, like, literally think they're the coolest people there, and you're just like, okay, you're, like, a little bit boring, but that's fine.
Yeah, I'm like, if you guys have a kid, I'm sure they'll be, like, 10 times more interesting than either of you.
Probably. If they're, like, growing up mixed in Europe. Ooh, let's spin-off show about their kid.
Mixed-ish.
Mixed-ish.
In Europe.
In parentheses, in Europe.
Created by Kenya Barris.
Isn't mixed-ish already one of them?
Yeah, that's why I said in Paris.
Who's the other guy? What's his name?
Gabriel. I don't even know.
Gabriel.
Just hot.
Gabriel.
Oh, yeah. Hot chef.
Hot Chef, and his girlfriend, who I was obsessed with. I was obsessed with her. I know,
she's kind of amazing.
I just, like, okay, and here's an example of, like, her fashion was, like, really cool, but also, like, really, I won't even say quirky. Like, she definitely had that whole, like, art world, like, thing going on, where, like, it was, like, some of her outfits, like, wouldn't work if you just saw them normally, but, like, they were just so cool. They all looked really good on her. And I was like, okay, how come we can dress this person?
And, like, yeah, because, I mean, not this other isn't person. She basically, like, a socialite?
I mean, she has that rich family, but I think her job is she, like, buys art, right? She's, like, an art dealer, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what, because she had, like, it was all those, like, gallery openings and stuff that she had to go to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was full-on obsessed with her. I feel like they got, it got kind of weird in the second season with, like, I couldn't tell what they were trying to do with her character. Like, she had that whole moment with, like, her mom where she was, like, her mom was, like, you need to do this and you need to get him back if you still love him and blah, blah, blah. And I was, like, oh, okay, so she's gonna, like, be friends with Emily to, like, get him back. But then they kind of, like, didn't follow up on that. I don't know. It was, like, very odd.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite moment of probably the entire series was when Emily wrote her that letter, and then she wrote her a letter back.
Oh, yeah. That was funny.
She's just like, leave me alone, you crazy illiterate bitch.
Because it was written in, like, really terrible French.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That was funny. See, I was like, if the show did more moments like this, like, it leaned more into the, like, campiness, I feel like they could have something.
Yeah. Which is, I just don't know why they're not doing that. It really is just baffling.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, it's Netflix, and it's, Netflix shows to me are, like, so hit or miss. I'm like, sometimes, I mean, they seem to cancel the bad, cancel the good ones and renew the bad ones. And I feel like sometimes the writing is just so, like, straightforward, like, they just want it to appeal to a really large audience, so they, like, don't write a lot of niche stuff. But I'm like, you're a fucking streaming service, like, this is what you're for. Yeah, you're for exactly niche stuff, like, anyway,
you're not a cable company. Well, I think they're getting to the point that they think they're a cable company now, so
yeah.
What's, well, yeah, I agree with that, with the whole, it, this show very much is very sanitized to a point that it's palatable for a mass audience, where it's trying to appeal to.
Yeah.
I literally think that they're just marketing specifically to the middle of the country for, like, a lot of these shows, because I'm like, whom are you appealing to in? Because I feel like, I don't want to say that you and I are the audience that they're looking for, but I feel like a show like this would appeal more to us as, like, as viewers.
Definitely.
Than it would say, like, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, a regular humdrum name. An Emily from Oklahoma.
Right, right. I think that's a really good point, actually, about this show. Because she's from Chicago. So I do think they're kind of going for that whole, like, she's a Midwestern girl, but, like, then again, like, her fashion whole thing is very conflicting. Like, she seems very metropolitan, but also I don't know, which I guess in a lot of ways
it's interesting that they chose Chicago, because I've noticed that, like, for a couple of their things, they've had these girls that have been from Chicago, like, say, for instance, the Princess Switch. I remember her character is from Chicago, and I think it's, like, kind of trying to appeal to both the Midwestern and the major metropolitan areas of, like, you know, say, L.A. or a New York or...
Yeah.
I wouldn't as go as far as to say, like, Atlanta, because I'm like, that would not appeal to, like, you know,
I think,
that section.
Well, I think the thing about Chicago and, like, I like Chicago. It's extremely mm-hmm. neutral. It's like,
yeah.
if you say you're from New York, there's a whole thing. If you say you're from mm-hmm. LA, it's a whole thing, right? But like Chicago, it's like, oh, Chicago. Like, it's just so neutral. Like, and it is a big, big metropolitan city, but it's also very Midwestern. So it definitely has that, like, super neutral territory thing going for it. I think Netflix also has some, like, people like to shoot stuff out there because of, like, yeah. tax reasons. So they probably do it for those sort of reasons, too.
Hence all those Chicago shows. Chicago Fire. Chicago PD.
Right.
Chicago Med.
Exactly.
Chicago Daycare. That's not a new... That's not real, but...
Chicago Daycare. It's just, like, really intense drama about a daycare. I would watch that.
Or they do a whole spin. It's actually just a comedy.
And
I'm surprised they haven't done a daycare comedy yet.
It's hard to get child actors.
That's true.
There's, like, laws and shit. Nobody wants to pay for it. What was I gonna say? Oh, I feel like the people I have heard that liked this show has been, like, weirdly, like, an older crowd, too. So, I don't know. It's very interesting. I think that they're trying to appeal to, like you said, like, a certain mass market. And it's just, like, I'm, like, the content here could be really good and you could appeal to a certain audience, but like you're trying to appeal to this other audience and it's not working. Like,
yeah.
And I think that's part of the problem. I don't know.
I agree. I think I can see why it would appeal to like older people because I feel like they're interested in hearing about these like quote unquote younger people or 20 to early 30s, I guess.
Yeah.
Late 20s to early 30s. But that they like the aspect of it being not super quirky or crazy, kind of like, I would say like happy endings or something like that, where, you know, I'm not going to say everything, but there are a lot of outlandish situations, but you know, that's why that show works.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Hello, add some comedy. Where are the jokes?
Where are the jokes? Truly, like, where are the jokes? That is how I felt about this show. I was like, oh, is this funny? Is this supposed to be funny? I also felt like her whole thing where she was, like, posting on Instagram and that was the whole, like, Emily in Paris thing. I was like, her posts are garbage. Like, she's just, like, a pretty girl. I mean, I guess that's how, like, she got followers. But I was just like, all right. Like, about that was so nonsense.
I'm also wondering, I'm like, are you guys still keeping up with that? Because it felt like you were doing it for the first season and then, like, dropped it. Kind of like, you know, in the first season of Sex and the City, they would do those weird cutaways.
Yeah. yeah, we love a gimmick that gets dropped after the first season. Anyway.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on the series?
I don't know. I feel like I didn't want to watch this, but I will watch the rest of it. Like, I will watch it when it comes out.
Yeah.
And this also, to me, like, this feels like a summer show. Like, I'm like, release it in the middle of summer, like, July, when, like, nothing else is out, and it's, like, a little too hot to be outside, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, ooh, Emily in Paris. And you're just like, whatever. Like, a little popcorn night. Like, that's what this show feels like to me. And that's fine.
Apparently, that's not what the summer is for anymore. Now the summer is all about sci-fi and fantasy, because almost every single show that I know that's coming out is, like, a sci-fi or fantasy show. Like, Netflix is putting out one in July. I can't remember what it was about. I just saw the poster the other day, too. Oh, Resident Evil. They're putting out that Resident Evil show in July.
Oh, interesting.
Stranger Things in June.
Well, Stranger Things always came out in summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something else is coming out in the summer, too. But that new Miss Marvel show on Disney Plus is coming out then. Oh. I mean, that's superhero driven. But also, Stargirl's coming back in Roswell. So I'm like, it's very interesting that they're putting these things on in the summertime.
I don't know. That kind of makes sense to me, though. Because I feel like it's sort of a little bit niche, and so they're niche. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, oh, we'll release it in the summer when, like, you know, we know that, like, our audiences are gonna, like, watch it anyway. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's yeah. kind of like a weird in-between time for releasing stuff. Like, movies don't, well, I guess some movies are, like, quote-unquote summer blockbusters, but...
Maybe it's to appeal to the younger audiences because they have more time during that frame.
Yeah, maybe.
Because they're out of school, usually.
Maybe. Yeah, it's a weird time for TV, but, like, I also feel like with streaming, like, TV scheduling has just changed a lot, so it is interesting to see, like, what comes out when, because I'm like, who are you trying to appeal to here? I'm like, I know some of it is just your production schedule, but like, there's a lot of thought that goes behind release dates, so
exactly.
Yeah,
I agree. It's very perplexing, but you know, overall I agree. I'll continue to watch this because I have been watching it with some other like with our other friends.
Yeah.
It's just like a lighthearted show. It's definitely not one of the first things I put on. It's just, yeah. you know, once I get down a certain number of things in the priority list, it's like, well, might as well watch this, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for what it is, like, you know, you're like watching these scenes of like Paris and stuff. It's like, you know, kind of aesthetically pleasing. You don't have to like, definitely don't have to think too hard. It's definitely like a turn your brain off and watch this garbage type of show. But I mean, if you're seriously looking for like a Sex and the City replacement, like this is not it. Like,
yeah,
like she is no Carrie Bradshaw, like for sure.
And yet somehow she has like almost the exact amount of character growth.
I feel like you just hate Carrie.
I don't hate her. I just feel like she doesn't grow as much as she thinks she does. I mean, like, in the new iteration, I think she definitely has, but, yeah. you know, yeah. that's years of experience. They instead made Miranda the crazy one. And I was like, that's a choice.
Somebody's gotta be crazy, you know?
Yeah. But you should definitely watch it. It's pretty funny.
It's been a while since I've seen a lot of the original. So I don't know. I might have very different feelings on a lot of it. Like, I feel like I watched Sex and the City at like different stages of my life and I felt differently every time in a weird way. And I don't know that I've ever watched the whole entire thing through, to be honest with you. But like, I feel like if I watched it now in my late 20s, like, I feel like I would have a totally different perspective on it. Like, I would feel very differently.
Maybe that's why I feel the way I do about yeah. certain situations.
Yeah.
It's because I'm like, time has given me wisdom. Also, Degrassi.
Degrassi?
Degrassi has given me wisdom.
Oh my God. I can't wait till that. Isn't that going to be on HBO Max?
Yes.
Yeah.
Coming March 25th, so those people who are gung-ho like I am to rewatch it.
I'm so excited.
Although I just rewatched it like a year ago.
Rewatched like what?
All of Degrassi.
All of it?
Yes, the whole thing, because I'd never seen it all the way through to the very end.
Oh my God, and then that I is psychotic. How can you watch all of it?
I was bored. I had nothing to do. Like, right now, I'm watching Teen Wolf, but I'm, like, starting to get... Mm. I'm getting to that point where I'm just like, woof, I'm getting to the bad part of the show.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I shouldn't even judge you because... and we can talk about this next episode if we decide to do our comedies episode. But after watching the pilot of How I Met Your Father, I decided I was going to embark on the 8-season journey of the original How I Met Your Mother. and I am very close to finishing, and it's been a ride. Anyway,
as always, thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.